Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Red Men TV. It's another episode of the LFC podcast. Chris and Paul are on the way back from Belgrade.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much in the airport now waiting to come back.
Oh, Ed, I mean, disappointing result, but I mean, looking from the vlogs that they've done, it looked
experience. It looked like a long, long day. Like they had to be up at like 2 a.m. yesterday to then fly, and then they were getting into Belgrade about midday, flying through Amsterdam, getting in about midday, pretty much heading as soon as possible over to the ground.
Yeah.
And then watch Liverpool get beat.
And then stay on the ground for 2 hours.
Go and have a couple of hours kip and then fly back. But
I mean, if you want to see all of that, yeah. Paul's done a vlog, Chris done a vlog. It looks unbelievable. Yeah, just that stadium looked fantastic.
Like there's a bit at the end of Paul's vlog. I haven't watched Chris's one, but so all the away fans are still there being kept in. And then there's thousands and thousands of Red Star fans at their end of the ground where all the flags were throughout the game, and they're singing "Free from Desire," their version of like "Will Your Rigs on Fire" or whatever. And that looks amazing. Like, yeah,
that's what Champions League's all about. Yeah. We should have won, but
we'll talk about that.
Exactly.
It's the first time I've done one of these.
A podcast, really? I mean, we do our production podcast sparingly when we have time to do it, but everyone give Sy some stick in the comments. For the first time. We'll kick it off with a question by Gracie270 on Twitter. She asks, would you rather have Prime Suarez or Prime Torres?
I don't even think it's a question for me.
No.
It's Suarez.
Yeah.
It's like, from pure just enjoyment of watching the stuff that he did on a football pitch, Fernando Torres was an amazing striker.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah.
Like his pace and his power and his finishing was like up there with the best, definitely up there with the best that I've ever seen, not just for Liverpool, for anyone. He was a fantastic player, but in terms of just enjoying watching someone play football, it's the nutmegs, it's the coming and tackling people, it's just the taking the piss out of
defenders. Diving
in front of Moyes, making opposition players and managers and fans so angry, and then scoring all them goals as well.
Mate, he was brilliant. I mean, you look at some of the goals Torres did score, and important goals, and the link-up that he had with Gerrard was like, I think his link-up with Gerrard was better than the link-up that Gerrard had with Suarez.
Yeah.
Just because Gerrard was allowed to be more further forward. Yeah. So we got the best out of Gerrard. But then Suarez, you're right. I think it's just the one that always stands out for me with Suarez is the one where he misses against Norwich and all the fans are giving him stick. And then he wins the ball off their defender, nutmegs him, and then with the outside of his foot, bends it into the bottom corner and gives them That's Luis Suarez all over.
Just completely boiling the piss of the opposition. Like, if he was playing against you, you'd hate it. Every single fan's the king to Anfield. You sing Luis Suarez, you know what you are.
Yeah.
And he did know what he is. He was a horrible, horrible player to play against.
World-class player, though.
Just absolutely world-class.
And the one regret that I say regret, it's not my regret because I'm not either of them. I wanted to see Suarez and Torres together in the same team.
Well, it was pretty much on the same day. On the same day Torres goes out, Suarez comes in. It was the last day of the January transfer window in 2011. And I know Torres wasn't the same player in 2011 than he was, but he still would have been brilliant.
Oh, imagine Suarez being that second striker with Torres ahead of him. Oh, my word.
Just be unplayable.
With Gerrard and behind.
Just be unplayable, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God. But yeah, so, I mean, let us know what you think in the comments below. Like we said, we both think Suarez, but Torres was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
On to the news in brief then. Like I say, like it is in the title, it's going to be a bit of news briefly. So there's Rabiot links. Apparently we're going to go in for a concrete offer.
Yeah.
What would you like to see. Yeah.
Like, I know his wages are probably going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah,
he might have to give
problem.
A bit of a signing on fee. That's what happened when Chan went to Juventus. I think he pocketed a good few million himself for actually making the move, which I don't really like to see from players. But it's a no-brainer for me.
He's like, what, he's 23, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 23, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he's the type of player that we need, I think. He's a midfielder who can get on the front foot,
yeah.
But he's solid defensively as well. He's not like if you throw Lallana or Shaqiri in there, then they're going to be like a number 10. He's solid enough defensively, but then he's always looking up and playing on the front foot. I thought he played well against us,
yeah.
For PSG at Anfield. And he's a Liverpool fan as well.
Yeah, he's meant to be a Liverpool fan. He's huge, absolutely huge, but he's still got good technical ability. Yeah. And that's what you want. I think that's kind of what we wanted from Gruitch. Just never really worked out. We just got a massive man in the midfield and just went, we need the height, because we did need the height at the time. And I mean, you're looking at, I mean, we've got Fabinho in there now, maybe, which could stifle them links, maybe.
I think Fabinho's a bit more defensive. Yeah. He's a bit more of a specialist, like defensive midfielder than Rabiot is, Like, he'd play a similar role to Gini or Milner, but he'd play in a completely different way. He'd be a lot more physical about it.
Well, I mean, he's been linked with Barcelona and with Man City, so if we can...
Bayern Munich, actually, I looked at the odds, and Liverpool and Bayern are the front runners for it at the minute with the bookies.
Let's just get some... We need more people in the midfield. I mean, we've got a few injuries, and it's a nightmare, like, so that's the thing.
I think especially Lallana, you'd imagine, will be going at the end of the season.
Yeah.
James Milner probably won't be, but he's out of contract.
Yeah,
I hope he doesn't anyway. I hope we get at least another season out of him, but either way, he's not going to be here forever, is he?
Yeah.
Whether it's this season or next season, this last season, we are going to need to replace him soon. And if we can get someone in who's an international player, I think he's captained PSG at such a young age. If we can get someone in like that to fill a gap in the midfield, yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. I mean, talking of injuries and people coming back, Naby Keita, obviously on the bench against Red Star. He got injured against Napoli, didn't he? Pretty sure he got injured against Napoli. Was he?
Yeah, but I think he came back. He went off on the Carth against Napoli, but that was like a bit of a back spasm. And then he was definitely in the squad, whether he started the weekend after, I'm not sure. And then he went out again.
So, I mean, it's just good to have him back.
It was the last international break he got in.
Oh, of course it was. I mean, it's one of them. I just want to see him back on the pitch. Obviously, I go back to that Napoli game. He had a torrid time. His passing was off. But that was his worst game, but he was showing little glimpses here and there, a few nice little balls, good way to pass, maybe had a few chances to score in a few games, and I just want to see him. We've been missing out on that attacking midfielder, haven't we, in a few games, and he could be there.
I think we have. I thought he started very, very well. He started, like, and I was like, wow, this is what we've signed. This is what we've signed, the first game against West Ham, and then he was quite good against Crystal Palace as well. Like, he showed that one where he flicked it over the player's head. Oh no! He'd done some sort of skill and then played that ball up to Salah.
Salah
couldn't quite bring it down and finish.
Brilliant!
And then he got left out of the Leicester game, didn't he? And it felt like after that, I don't know whether he got a bit of a cob on because he got left out of the Leicester game or what. But he just hasn't looked. He hasn't showed as many of them glimpses. Hopefully, a few weeks on the sidelines, comes back from an injury. He's seen that the midfield has struggled without him.
Yeah.
And I think he's the type of player who can go, right, now's my time to show what I can do. He won't be leaving me out again.
No.
This is what I can do. And I hope, whether it's against Fulham or whether it's after the international break, we've lacked him in the midfield.
I think it will be Fulham, and I think it's the perfect opportunity for him to come in. Look, a team that fancy themselves as a ball-playing side, who will kind of come out a little bit, open up a bit of space in that midfield for him to drive at them. Yeah. The defence, sorted, that is made for him. A weird one, you've looked into this a bit more than me, the Super League stuff.
It's been in the news.
Go on, do you want to kind of talk through?
It came out, I think it was probably last week I read this article, and Der Spiegel, which is a German, big German newspaper, it's probably like the Times, like the Times of Germany, and they've come out and they did, the first article I saw, which I think was the main article they did, it was about this football league stuff, and it was... main two things were Man City and PSG
with the
financial fair play, and they've been rigging and lying about the financial fair play. But then the other thing, which is going to affect Liverpool more, I'd imagine going forward, is the Super League, which is apparently Bayern Munich were leading the talks, but there's been 11 clubs in negotiation to start, basically break off and start this new Super League. And it looks at the minute like they'd be taking themselves out of UEFA and FIFA to do it, because UEFA and FIFA don't want them to do because it'd get rid of the Champions League as we know it, and then the top five European leagues would be losing their best and biggest clubs. There's five English teams, so it's a top six except Tottenham.
Wow.
And then these are the 11 like ring leaders of it who have reportedly been in negotiations. Five apart from Tottenham, and then Juventus, Paris Saint-Germain, AC Milan, Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Bayern Munich.
Wow, yeah.
And then there was going to be five guests, like I think Atletico Madrid, Borussia Dortmund, Marseille, Roma.
But then there's talk, so then we obviously wouldn't be in them leagues. There's talk if you're getting 500 million for just starting.
A season. And those 11 teams who were the founders of it can't get relegated for 20 years.
But I don't understand what you're going to get relegated to. This is the mad thing to me.
You get relegated into your country's league.
Really? Yeah. So that's how. So you win the Premier League and you get promoted into the Super League?
Yeah.
Is the talk.
Possibly. There's five guests.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's five guests who get invited and then they can be relegated. Or and then maybe if they impress, then maybe they can be brought in. And like,
I see, yeah.
It's confusing.
I mean, it is confusing. We're probably not explaining it 100% right. It's definitely looking into.
There's talk that this is getting signed off this month.
I mean, I really hope that...
It'll be the end of football as we know it.
Yeah, it'd be mad. It'll be, in a way, I'd kind of like to see it, in a way, because... It'd be massive games every single week. Theoretically, the best players in the world playing against
but
each other.
But they'd stop being massive games. They'd just be week in, week out. They wouldn't be the massive games. It'd be great for American fans and fans in Asia who don't get to go and see their team often.
Mm.
But for especially match going fans, who are the heart of the club.
Mm.
It'd just ruin it.
That is weird because you'd be travelling around the world. Yeah,
there's also talk that I'm sure there'd be some home games played at Anfield, but there's talk that it's going to be a road show, so they'd be going playing games in New York, going playing in China and Australia and stuff. And
I mean, financially, it'd be a big coup for all these teams, but then.
But that's all.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all.
Yeah. It is a mad one. I guess we're gonna. I don't want to see it happen, purely because. I want us to win the Premier League. Let us win the Premier League, then whatever. But even then, no. You know what I mean? I'm joking there when I say that.
I'd seriously consider just stopping watching football if it happened.
Yeah, well, there's a question on that later about that. We may as well answer it right now. It is on many sheets of paper. If Liverpool joined the Super League, would you carry on supporting them or find a new local team to watch, says Nick Brown? It would be very hard. I would... keep supporting Liverpool because that, but then it'd feel like they're abandoning us, not us abandoning them.
Exactly.
So
they would be. They would. What they'd be doing by doing that is by saying we don't care about the fans at all. All we care about is money.
Yeah.
And watch where it gets them.
And I reckon a lot of players would go. I'm not happy with this.
Especially because there's talk that because they'd have to then take themselves out of UEFA and FIFA. Then the players' contracts would not be with UEFA and FIFA, and then they couldn't play international football.
Which, like Brazilians, no chance
of
doing that.
Look how proud a lot of players are of playing for the country. Mo Salah in Egypt.
Yeah.
He wouldn't want to go and play for a team, so that would mean he couldn't represent his country. Yeah. Because, look, he's got the whole... I know there's been a bit of a fallout over the last few months, but you can see how much, when he scores that penalty to get them in the World Cup, that's the best moment of his football career.
Oh, by far.
Not getting into the Champions League final with Liverpool, even if he wins the Champions League final with Liverpool, I think getting his country into the World Cup would still be the proudest moment of, until he retires.
Yeah, he's revered in that country now, and for good reason. Very, very good reason. But, I mean, loads more is going to come out of that in the coming weeks, and we will be covering that, because if Liverpool are linked into that, it's gonna be mental. We will be the first to tell you. Don't you worry.
Actually, something I did want to read out, and I had it. Sorry,
but yeah, I mean the Super League is a mad one because there's talk that it'd just be taking the Champions League though, which is mad. But then they wouldn't allow that. I don't know. It is a really mad one. Like,
so Spirit of Shankly put on Twitter before, like Spirit of Shankly, if you don't know, they're like a supporters union, and if any supporters have got any issues about the way the club are with them or anything, like they organised the fundraising for Sean Cox last weekend, they do loads of great things. And they released a statement saying they've sent a message to Liverpool and it's asking them whether they have been in talks about the Super League, and I think I want to hear back from Liverpool about this. I really do.
Yeah.
And so, Spirit of Shankly, it's a bit of a longish statement. It's a couple of paragraphs. It says, football is, at its core and in the mind of supporters, a sport. The clubs that we support, while we understand they operate like a business, are sporting institutions representative of their locality. The question of how much this holds true has reared its head once again with the latest revelations from football leaks and subsequent media reports. While supporters want to protect the integrity of their sport and their respective leagues and clubs, this is further evidence that for some owners, the pursuit of every pound, euro or dollar matters most. The suggestion of a new European Super League concerns us greatly. These are concerns that transcend club and national loyalties. To date, we have asked LFC if they have been involved in any discussions on a European Super League and what their position is on such a proposal. We will keep members and supporters updated on any response.
Brilliant. Like I said, they do really good work, and I am interested to know, just get a concrete statement of, yes, we are interested, this is why, this is what we, like, is it going to benefit, like, who's it going to benefit? If it's just going to benefit yous, then we want to know,
yeah.
We need to know. We'll move on to the first topic of the podcast. This is the Champions League and the table surrounding it. So basically, obviously, we lost 2-0 against Red Star. Disappointing result. But I just figured we'd look into it because it's not all doom and gloom, really. No. I mean, we're definitely... Look, disappointing result, and especially against Napoli. But we're still there. We're still second because of head-to-head. But Napoli are on 6 points. Liverpool are on 6 points. PSG are on 5 points and Red Star are on 4. So that basically means all we need to do is it's win against PSG and we're through.
Yep.
And if we draw against PSG or lose against PSG, we just need to beat Napoli more than 2 goals.
So if we draw against PSG and beat Napoli, then we're through no matter what the score is.
Okay.
And then if we lose against PSG, then we need to beat Napoli by 2 goals.
Okay.
So it's a struggle.
Oh yeah, the two
it really
great
is a
teams.
Struggle, and we fucked ourselves over yesterday.
Yeah.
But we can still qualify, and that's assuming that Napoli and PSG both beat Red Star, and I wouldn't completely bet against Red Star getting a result against either of them teams.
Yeah.
But if you're assuming that we can knock PSG out in Paris,
yeah,
which makes it even more of an exciting game.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
And then depending on the result, it's all set up for a big European night, basically. For us to qualify over Napoli, I just don't like the meltdown that's happened since that game yesterday. Like
I understand it. I do understand it because it's passionate. People caring about the team. You don't want to see your team lose, but you can't be writing off people. In my opinion, you can't be saying these players are garbage. These players can never play for us. Klopp's lost the plot. Blah blah blah. Because were you supporting them the other day when we're beating teams? You know what I mean? Were you supporting them last season when we got to the Champions League final? You were. Yeah. And you can't just support when we're playing well.
Talking about at the start of the season, everyone's saying we've got quite a big squad now, and it's good that the players who were first teamers have now been dropped to the bench and stuff. Mm. Still, don't think the squad's perfect, and we can still add to it. But people giving big long lists. This player needs to go. 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 Just off the back of basically one bad result. I know the performances all season haven't been great.
Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? A lot of people have been saying that, but we're still winning games. We're defensively. And that's what we've struggled with for years. Defensively, we have been so much better. And maybe to the detriment of attack, again, we've got another question like that later, but maybe to the detriment of the attack. But that defence has been winning us games. If you think about the Red Star game, we created enough opportunities that if our strikers, Daniel Sturridge in particular, puts it away, if Salah gets a better connection, if Mane gets a better connection on some of these, Matip heads the ball instead of missing it, We're walking away here with a draw. We're walking away here with a win.
Depending if the Sturridge one goes in, then I think we probably do win the game.
Exactly, and you look at where we were last season. We were off the back of some poor draws.
This time last season, I think we'd just about come off the back end of it.
Mm.
But we were poor.
Yeah, Newcastle, Spartak.
Spartak. We threw away the 3-3 lead against Sevilla.
Yeah.
But I think that was actually after this point last season.
Yeah.
So that showed we still weren't perfect at this point last season. People are saying, "Are we?" Going on as if at this point last season everything was fine. It wasn't.
Mm.
It took a while to grow into it, and we're trying to manage our way through 2 games a week and stuff like that. It's hard to do.
That's the Champions League, though. The Champions League, like, if we're talking, because we're going to talk about the Premier League as well, but the Champions League is meant to be tough. We looked at this group and went, okay, I mean, we have a fighting chance because we are so good. But we looked at it and went, wow, that's PSG, that's Napoli. Yeah. And we can't, I wrote off Red Star, I'll be honest, and we deserve what we got because we did.
Yeah. We did play, I think, well. Everyone did. And I think, like, people are probably upset because we got beat against a poor team. But they weren't a poor team last night. No. They were very, very good. Like they played us well. They played us brilliantly. And I know they haven't got quality all over the pitch, but they played us so well. They made it so hard for us in the first half an hour. And then the damage was done in that first half an hour. And then they just sat, like I was speaking about it on the Man of the Match. They just sat back, put everyone behind the ball, made it so hard, basically said, you can have the ball out wide, and then from there, you're not going to do anything with it. And then every opportunity they got, they were going down with cramp and wasting time and taking ages to take goal kicks and all that. It's frustrating to watch, but you can't...
It's
like,
brilliant.
Yeah.
That's how, a few seasons ago, that's how we beat Man City.
Yeah.
We scored a goal with Gini Wijnaldum with the header, brilliant header, and then we sat back, and we made it compact, and we stifled their attack, and we were lording that performance because it was a brilliant performance. Yeah. They were obviously the better team.
I've got a soft spot for proper shithouse football.
But obviously you'd like to see great, slick attacking football. We get to see that in the Napoli and PSG games, don't worry. But like... Yeah. I have literally, say we go away to PSG and we get two goals up half time, half an hour in, and then we sit back like that.
Oh, yeah.
We will be loving it.
Yeah, I'd absolutely love it.
So it's one of them where you've got to tip your hat to Red Star then and just go, brilliant, brilliant performance, and you hope that they do it to the other two.
But it still wasn't good enough from
Liverpool. Oh, no,
it still wasn't. But that's what I mean. I wouldn't write off them getting at least one result against them two, and then that makes it a lot easier for us.
Yeah.
Because at the minute, we're level points with Napoli.
Yeah.
Imagine that we go to Napoli, Napoli come to Anfield and we need to score two goals, and then Red Star just hold PSG to a draw anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's it.
No, because they could be fighting
to
get in the Europa League. You never know what could happen. They could beat Napoli in Napoli. It's very unlikely. It's very unlikely, but it's possible.
It is possible.
And then that just throws everything into the open. Like, this group's been a mad group already.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's all going to be as easy and simple as it might seem. Like, the team that should win will win and stuff.
Well, Napoli and PSG.
I think there's another twist or turn to come yet.
Napoli and PSG are going to be disappointed with this as well. PSG especially. You know what I mean? So they've had a loss, a win, and two draws.
Yeah.
They will have gone into this going, look at our squad, look at what we should be doing. Yeah. And the third in the group, Napoli at top with a draw, a win and two draws.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, no one's been perfect in this. And you look back at the performance we played against PSG at home and coming back to nick it at the death, and you sat there. Obviously, PSG came back and then we had to nick it. But... like, that sums up the Champions League as them big things, and it's setting itself up to be, this is where we got out of the group, and this is how we bolstered the season and kicked on from there. So, look, I understand everyone feeling upset about it, but don't write off this squad, because this squad's going to do fantastic things this season.
Like people talking about, like Fabinho's performance against Arsenal, he didn't have a good game.
No, it wasn't.
He got a bit lost in the midfield, but there was people writing him off before it, and then he doesn't play against Red Star, and now everyone's saying, why didn't we play Fabinho? And everything just seems so reactionary.
Yeah.
After every game, you can just think that your last game is the big picture, but it's not. There's a whole season.
It's after every moment at the moment. Yeah. It's literally after, oh, we missed the chance.
Yeah.
He's the worst player. Yeah. Sturridge, he's still going to get us goals in the season. He will make up for that. Big players have missed big chances before that it happens.
One thing that this Liverpool side have shown is delaying from the mistakes.
Yeah.
And whether they be defensive mistakes and then they'll tighten up from set pieces. Maybe it's Klopp's realised that he's needed to spend big money on a player, so he has. He's gone and done it.
Mm-hmm.
Various different mistakes that we've made over the course of Klopp's reign, we have learned from.
Yeah.
And so the more that these big things happen, like a worrying defeat, like the amount of times we've thrown away leads and stuff, you haven't seen us throw away big leads like that much anymore.
I'm going to play devil's advocate because I agree with you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Surely we should have learned from Napoli then. Away game, you got to play better.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of our passing, it was a lot better than at Napoli. Like I said, that Napoli was our worst game. A lot of people saying, well, no, because Red Star are worse opposition. And I understand that completely. I do get that. But we didn't pass the ball to any of our players against Napoli. We didn't get a foot on the ball. Whereas against Red Star, maybe they let us do it, which, all right, fair enough. But we played the ball. We did create opportunities. We created enough opportunities in that game for us to win that game comfortably. We just didn't put them away.
I thought the problem with Napoli was tactical.
Yeah.
Like Klopp said to them, just go and shut up shop. Don't take any risks whatsoever. Mm. And hopefully we'll be able to come away with the draw. And
we nearly did.
No, we nearly did, but you're taking a big risk. Oh, and that's why I didn't like it when we done it against City the weekend. Yeah. I know they were two games at the end of a very tough run of fixtures, and so I think Klopp was just trying to manage it a little bit. But I don't think we're a side that you can go out and say, just get a 0-0, because that's not our strength.
No,
our strength is attacking football, even though this season we haven't seen enough of it. I think the lesson that we learn from this is, Let's just try and take a few more risks going forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's throw, especially against smaller side. Let's try and get the early lead and just throw a few men further forward, and then you can bring it back a little bit.
Yeah.
Like Southampton come and he puts all four of them on. He puts Shaqiri on. We go 2 or 3 0 up by half time, and then he just takes Shaqiri off.
Yeah.
That's the time to start being pragmatic against these smaller teams, because we can go out and get 3.5 goals against anyone. If we're in our game, we can do that.
Yeah, no, and let's talk about that then. So we've got Fulham coming up next in the Premier League. Let's have a little look at it. So in terms of the table, Manchester City are top, 29 points. Then Chelsea second, 27 points. Then Liverpool third with 27 as well. Then fourth are Spurs with 24. Arsenal fifth, 23 points. Mad league this season. I mean, we were talking about it at the start, saying, oh, it's just going to be Liverpool and Man City because we're optimistic. Then Chelsea carried on going and we were like, wow.
No one expected Chelsea to start as well as it did.
Then you're looking at Spurs, who were there as well. Arsenal are coming into a bit of form.
Well, look how good Arsenal have been. I know they had a couple of a bit dodgy results early on, but like they had an incredible run of form and they're still quite a bit off the pace already.
Yeah, I know.
And they haven't been bad. No. Like that shows how much the margin for error is just so, and I think that's part of the reason why people get upset about bad results, because the margin for error is so small, but it's so exciting.
Well, I was about to ask you then, we're up there. Yeah. We're literally challenging against one of the best sides I've ever seen play footy in the Premier League. We are challenging with them. All right, we're 2 points off, and it was a disappointing result against Arsenal, but in the big scheme of things, we're literally challenging with these, with a titan of football. Yeah, they haven't won the Champions League. Yes, I still don't think that they're like a massive club at the moment. They certainly have the makings to be. They certainly have the makings. They need to win that Champions League and they need to keep it consistent in the Premier League for a few more seasons.
And they definitely can.
They've got the squad for that.
Yeah.
They're unbelievable. But if we I don't want to sound defeatist because I want us to win the Premier League. I think we can. I think we have the team to do it. But if we keep in like close proximity to them,
then you never know what could happen.
Exactly.
Like Liverpool have always been at the best when they haven't been the favourites, when they when they've been the underdogs, like 13-14. We put it together in a run of 11 games, and we went top at the start of that 11 games. We were like four, and then we just keep winning the games, and then the closer you're getting to the people in front of you, then that's when you get the momentum. And then once you're there at the top, it feels like a few times Liverpool haven't really know what to do with it.
It is mad, and that's the one thing I think this squad is lacking, is those just consistent winners. Obviously, we've got James Milner in there. He's not a consistent winner, but he's won quite a few things. But then you're looking at that Man City squad, you're looking at that Chelsea squad. All of them have won the Premier League. Yep. A few of them have won it quite a few times. Yep. So they know, right, we're at the top, we keep it tight. It was something that United was so good at doing, grinding out results, consistently keeping it going. And I really enjoy this. This is when we knew Guardiola was coming in, when we knew Sadi was coming in, Emery was coming in, we knew you had these talented players.
Mourinho,
exactly. And Pochettino at Spurs, you know you've got these amazing managers, amazing squads. You want it to be a challenge. Yeah. You want to see great football.
And you can tell how much they're enjoying it. Like, there was that funny thing about Sarri and Klopp when Klopp's getting beat. I wasn't too sure if I liked it, to be honest. But we're getting beat 1-0 and Klopp's smiling and Sarri says, what are you laughing at? And he says, aren't you enjoying this? But it's nice to see like that the managers, but they all know, right, this is the top elite level of football. Yeah. And this is as good as it's gonna get.
We're pushing each other higher and higher. We wouldn't be as good as we have been this season with it not.
No,
we're challenging for Man City and Arsenal.
No, I mean,
and Chelsea.
Yeah.
Because we know that there is no margin for error, so the players are gonna play out their skin to do it. And the only teams we've dropped points against are the big ones.
Yeah.
So it's one of them where you enjoy it while it's there. Obviously be disappointed when Liverpool lose.
Yeah.
When Liverpool draw, I was gutted. I'm still not happy with Liverpool after that Red Star defeat.
No.
There's been times when for weeks afterwards I can't speak to people because it's an international break and I don't have the footy to Liverpool to change my mind about things. And that's the best thing about footy, is it makes you upset. But then you've got to live through that to make yourself feel happy.
Yeah.
The feeling of joy that we had when we were going through the Champions League last season is unparalleled because we've been so disappointed so many times. And like, I can't even imagine some of the experiences you had going over there and being in the stadiums.
That was amazing. Yeah, that's what you do it for. But Liverpool are so good.
Like
we are so good and just enjoy it. Like, have a bad result and be a bit disappointed, but enjoy it, knowing that we are gonna go and beat Fulham at the weekend.
Yeah,
and then the next run of games we've got. I think we've got Watford.
Yeah, we've got PSG coming up. And
you've got a massive game in the Champions League, and then you've got a couple of easy games, and then going into December over Christmas when Arsenal, Everton, and Man United are all coming to Anfield, and we're gonna beat all three of them.
Yeah.
Imagine
having to be Everton and you're playing in a Jag little cup yesterday and we beat them.
Yeah.
Who did you beat, lads?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've been that before, but we do it at the start of the season, not halfway through a season, in a contractually obliged friendly. Fair play to them, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you look at the fixtures, Saturday, Palace v Spurs, you'd bank on Spurs winning that, but you never know. Then on Sunday, Chelsea v Everton. Everton could do a job there. They've gotten, like, you never know. Man City vs. we spoke about this before. Man City vs Man United. United could do a job there.
They won't. No, that one I actually think they might do, but that's only because I really fucking hope they do.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll throw any hatred I've got out of for Man United out the window, because I just want City to drop as many points as possible.
Yeah. It's mad hoping for that, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it shows how far United have fallen in a way. And then Arsenal v Wolves. I still don't know what Wolves are. We said this in the build-up.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are, so I kind of want them to... I want them to just show, like, take advantage of Arsenal's so-called leaky defence and just be like, there you go, we are good. They've got some good players, Wolves. So we could be top.
We could be top.
We could be top here.
If United beat City, then I can't see Everton getting anything at Chelsea.
I think they might do.
But we could still go top on goal difference if United beat City.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing a like Everton getting someone sent off while also like putting Hazard out for a few weeks. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it happened with Origi when what's his name went through the back of him and ended his season and we didn't win the Europa League. I'm convinced because of that. But look, I mean, we are for all the doom and gloom.
Yeah, we're in a very good place.
We're nearly top of the Champions League group, and we're joint second in the Premier League.
I hope that we've had our bad run of results.
Yeah,
and now it's time to kick on.
Kick on, go forward, and be Liverpool that we know we can be.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it. We saw it last season.
Yeah.
Just a little plug for stuff on the website. Ross and Ben do a really good show called Around the League Podcast. Basically, they just go and talk about the rest of the teams in the league. We've just spoken a bit about the top six. They're basically talking about like the financial fair play stuff that Si mentioned before. They were talking about the Super League stuff as well in a bit more depth. Basically, any news around the league, just to give a bit of a better sense of where Liverpool are in this league. Obviously, you know about Liverpool, we know about Liverpool, but if you want to know about how the other teams are getting on, what we're up against, what we're challenging against, and what we need to know, yeah, get on it, and here's a little clip from it.
What annoys me the most about it, though, is that by doing this, there's been a knock-on effect that's affected the whole of the Premier League, if you ask me. So Man City obviously run away with the title last season because they've been allowed to overspend by Infantino and UEFA. And that means that Liverpool, Chelsea, Man United, all the top six clubs have to spend large themselves to be able to catch up with Manchester City.
Unless you're Spurs.
Okay, yeah, Spurs haven't done it. But the point is, as a result, the gulf between the top six and the rest of the Premier League has never been bigger. The whole league on a whole is less competitive than it was because look at Southampton yesterday, some of that defending that was going around. They're playing a different game. They're playing on a different level. The Premier League side, and there used to be a good Premier League side, a well-run club who was pretty much competing top half of the table every season. And look at the teams like Cardiff and Huddersfield, just getting battered every week because Manchester City were greedy and they want to win the Champions League. The day Manchester City actually do win the Champions League will be a sad day for football because it means money has won, and it really, really upsets me because as a Liverpool fan, I'm sat there, we're having a great start to the season and it feels like we're not because Manchester City have overspent. It's like they're playing FIFA on easy with a financial takeover and they can just go out and spend any money that they want and they're going to win every single game. Liverpool have had one of the best starts of the season ever, but it feels like a draw at Arsenal and we're out the title race because Man City have gone and overspent on money and they've just ruined the whole balance of the league. And it just as a Liverpool, I'm sat here like, what's the point? What are we competing for? You can't compete with that. You can't compete with cheating and greed in this sense.
Yeah, give that a watch. Obviously, there's loads more stuff on the website. If you just want to know more about Liverpool, we've got you covered as well. Everything you need to know. Let's move on to the questions. So, obviously, feature of this podcast is you send us loads of questions and we answer loads of questions. So, the first one comes from Bailey Shaw. Wonder who that is. I didn't ask him to send in this question, I swear. I really wanted to answer this question. I've been trying to do it for ages. He asks, what's your all-time favourite 11 from 2000 onwards? Any formation of your choice? Basically, we've been doing loads of these team selectors, and they've always got, like, you can only pick one with a name that begins with Z. And
you can only pick one from each team.
Yeah. I just want to know, what is your favourite 11 to have played since 2000?
In any world league?
Yeah. What's yours?
So,
favourite doesn't mean best. Favourite,
so it's a cross. Like I pick a cross between favourite and best. Because if it was my favourite, then I'd be getting Dirk Kuyt in there. You know what I mean. So I picked a cross between the best and the favourite. Like I've got Ronaldo in there. I don't like Cristiano Ronaldo, but he's the second best player that's played since 2000.
Yeah,
so he had to get into my squad. So I've got Buffon in goal.
What formations does it start with?
It's like a 4-2-3-1.
Okay,
maybe like a 4-3-3.
Buffon in goal. Solid.
Buffon in goal. Dani Alves, right back.
Nice.
He was so good defensively and going forward at the top level for so long.
Yeah.
Alongside Puyol, who not only was he an amazing player who won everything there was to win, he was actually a really likable fella.
Yeah. Professional is what you'd say about him. Yeah.
He's brilliant. And then Jamie Carragher.
Same.
Yeah,
Well, he embodied passion completely. Yeah. I did a video on Facebook, which no one watched, and I'm gutted about. Go and find it on Facebook, basically talking about how much I love Jamie Carragher because, just wow, unbelievable. He embodied everything there is to be a Scouser in my eyes. And yeah, he gets in any World 11 for me.
Roberto Carlos.
Yeah.
He's alright, isn't he? Yeah, he did the most of his best work probably before 2000.
Yeah.
Like Brazil in the 90s, but he still won the Champions League with Real Madrid. He still won the World Cup with Brazil in 2002. And he was still a brilliant player, like the most technically gifted left back or full back that's probably ever been. He was just a great player.
Well, I'll challenge you with that on mine.
Okay. And then in midfield, I've gone for like a three. Put them whatever order you want.
Yeah.
Gerrard, Zidane and Iniesta.
Oh yeah.
Like whether you want Gerrard and Zidane in like a two with like each one taking turns to go forward, or Iniesta or Gerrard holding with Zidane and Iniesta in front.
I didn't think about Iniesta.
The three of them are that good that they can do whatever they want in the midfield and still be the best midfield in the world. And then Messi and Ronaldo with Thierry Henry up front.
Yeah.
You could have Luis Suarez in there. If it was favourite, it would be Luis Suarez, but I kind of wanted to shy away from Liverpool as much.
Yeah.
So I've got Thierry Henry because I absolutely loved watching him play.
I'm still gutted in Iniesta. Has kind of just gone from Barca. I really, really liked watching him play.
It was so good till the end as well.
Yeah, his close control is something special. Like, you think about that trio of Iniesta, Messi and Xavi.
Well, Busquets.
The diamond, I guess. Yeah. Even that whole diamond was just unbelievable. Obviously, you had Xavi playing the passes, but then you often think about, Messi was like the little intricate one. Messi was unbelievable, still is. Yeah. Iniesta was the intricate one.
Yeah.
The little one-touch passes, the little beating a man, beating four men, and you're just like, you mesmerised watching him on a pitch. And yeah, your front three is, I mean, that probably is the best.
Yeah.
The best. Like, I haven't gone with that, even though they are probably the best. I've gone with Schmeichel in goal. Not Kasper, the other one. I just like the way he was. The way he screamed at people, the way he commanded himself.
He's probably
another
one who did most of his best work before 2000, but he's still...
Unbelievable. I've gone with Philip Lahm at right back. I just think just stalwart, and he can play centre-defensive, or he could play centre-defensive mid. Just so good for that Bayern team for so long. Yeah, just unbelievable. Then I've gone
as a captain as well.
Exactly. Fantastic player, man. Then I've gone Carragher, Puyol, same in my centre-backs. Then I went for Marcelo. Left back, just because I think you're talking about the most technically gifted. Roberto Carlos was just unbelievable, but you're watching Marcelo now and the stuff that he can do on the ball as an attacking fullback. He's probably one of the best I've ever seen play the game. Defensively, maybe a bit suspect, but even then, he's not that suspect. He's fantastic. And then I've gone Alonso and Zidane. Alonso, I just love him at the base of that midfield. I mean, obviously he did a lot of his best work at Bayern and at Real Madrid, but even at Liverpool you could see his quality.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was still one of the best midfielders in the world at Liverpool.
Yeah, unbelievable. And then Zidane, you don't need to say anything about Zidane. We all know the quality that man has had, probably still does have. Then in me centre attack mid, I've gone Dennis Bergkamp.
Yeah,
I really just love watching him play. Sometimes I just watch highlight packages of people on YouTube, and you're watching his stuff and the way he used to play football, the way he had control of the ball. Yeah. I still can't get over that flick, like around the defender and slots it. He just had some technique on him. And Gerrard on the right wing, just I wanted to get him in the team. He was going to be in the centre, and then I realised, Zidane. So Gerrard on the right wing, just get him in the team. He was fantastic on the right wing anyway. Ronaldinho on the left wing because
Ronaldinho nearly made it into my team as well.
I don't know who you can pick. Yeah, he played with a smile on his face. He
talk about enjoying watching. And I know he was the kind of player that quite often he would go missing in games.
Yeah.
There was a period probably around 2006, 2007 when he won the Ballon d'Or, when he was pretty much every game he was showing up for Barcelona.
Yeah.
But he's the kind of player that would sometimes go missing. But in terms of when someone's on the game and they're just skipping past players and like score goals from 40 yards and all sorts,
it's the toe poke into the corner against Chelsea where he dukes it twice and then just no other player thinks to do that. Not even Luis Suarez, I don't think, thinks to do that, because he just knew he had the technical ability to be able to, with his toes, put it in the side. And then there's Thierry Henry. I mean, I can't think of many better strikers. I was the only... another one, Wayne Rooney. I really, really obviously disliked them, but as a football player for United, unbelievable player.
It was how good he was without ever being amazing. Like you know the way Thomas Muller, like he's not the fastest player in the world, and he's never going to be doing step overs and beating men on the wing and stuff. But just in terms of just the positional, his finishing was brilliant. Oh, like such a powerful player as well. Like he was fast.
Yeah,
like when he was young, he was fast. Yeah, top class. He's not making any favourite team of mine.
Oh, not yeah, no. But I it's one of them. Now that he's left United, I can kind of take away me club biases a little bit and just be like, you were phenomenal, mate. Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, obviously, I don't like him. Obviously, he is a fat granny shagger, but fantastic. Right, moving on. Dan Lewis says, who is the worst RMTV staff member to travel to an away match with and why? So, it's a weird one.
Should we use Dublin as an example? Because we were all there.
Let's use Dublin.
We were all staying in the same apartment in Dublin.
I mean, it's between me and you.
Probably.
Yeah. I don't think... Everyone else is pretty good. Like, Paul and Chris are sound. Ross is quite
probably
timid.
In different ways.
Yeah,
like, I'm glad I didn't have to share a room with you, because you snore dead loud.
Yeah, I do that.
And you stink.
I don't stink. I make sure to get showers. No, but the snoring thing... So we went over with Drew, and Drew's our mate, who's the guitarist on the night, and so the first night, we slept, and then I woke up, and he wasn't in a bed, like, not next to me, but in the bed across the room from me. And I was like, I wonder where he is. So I got up, saw him on the couch in the living room. And I was like, what are you doing there? And he went, don't speak to me. Apparently, I've been snoring so loud that he just couldn't get to sleep. I've been told I snore quite loud, so that happens. Yeah. But then, conversely, I'd rather not share a room with you. Because
fucking nuisance.
Yeah, you're just a bad nuisance. You'd just be like, where's he going? And you'll find you're on the floor in the bathroom, lad. Or I don't know.
The first night we got there, I don't know why, and I don't usually do this. I was just arguing with everyone. Anytime anyone said anything, I was just fine. And I'm not usually like but I don't know why.
Maybe it was just something in the aisle that night. You weren't even on shot. It was just beers.
It was just beer. I think it was like Heineken or something that I drink all the time. I don't know, but I was just being a fucking pain in the ass.
In terms of like, that's staying over somewhere, that's like an away day.
Yeah.
In terms of away days, we're all mates, you know what I mean? Yeah. We get on, we drove down to Leicester, they're all fun trips.
We spend hours and hours, not only, sometimes in a car, most of the time it's just in the office.
Yeah.
And we never argue with
each other. No, there's no arguments. I mean, there's some days when you know to give a wide berth to people, but too late. Yeah. That's you've got to sometimes. Yeah. But yeah, I'd say in terms of staying over places, it's defo me and you. Defo.
Yeah.
Defo. Yeah. Yeah. Joe Mitchell Charman says, is our newfound defensive resilience the blame for our lessened threat going forward? What do you reckon?
I think it's a contributing factor.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'd been times when we just because we're solid in defence doesn't mean that when the front three are on the break, they can't pick the right pass.
Yeah.
You know
exactly.
What I mean? And that's happened quite often this season. The most obvious one that comes to head was Salah trying to play it through to Mane the other day.
The Arsenal at the very end, yeah.
And like last night in the second half, we just can't score.
Robertson on the break against Napoli. Yeah,
they just haven't got a clue. And so that's a lack of confidence going forward. But also, the fact that they're not committing so many men going forward means that there's not an extra pass there for someone to pass it to.
Yeah.
Or there's not an extra man in the box that's taking a runner away to create more space for you. So I think it's probably a mixture between the two. What I do want to see, and it's something that Bailey's been talking about, especially against Fulham, if you've got that 4-2-3-1, I think it allows you to be both.
Mm. Yeah.
It allows you to basically commit four men to just attack. And I know you've got to do your fair share. Everyone's got to do the fair share of defensive responsibility, especially in this side. But it allows you to just commit their men further forward while still being solid defensively.
Well, didn't we see that against Red Star first leg? Yeah. Obviously, we started with the 4-2, 4-2-3-1. We committed the wings, but then we were allowed to commit Gini further forward with Fabinho sitting in there, overloaded all of it, and it paid dividends. And I think you're right there. We've got the players there that you can leave Virgil van Dijk one-on-one, or you can leave Virgil van Dijk and Gomez 2-on-2 with an attacking lineup, and we will be all right. We've got the fullback cover there as well. Obviously, Robertson's brilliant on that left hand side. Trent's not been fantastic this season, but he's still a very good player.
Yeah.
And then even if you're putting Dejan Lovren in there and putting Gomez on the right hand side, I think that's still good enough. Obviously, I'd rather Gomez be in the centre because I love that Van Dijk partnership with Gomez. But I think you're right. We're still waiting for the attack to click.
Yeah.
And we've been saying pretty much every single game it needs to click next game.
Yeah.
But does it need to click, or do we just need to put away the chances? Because we're still creating stuff, like I say. We're creating a lot of chances in a lot of games. It's not like the only game I can think of this season where we haven't is Napoli.
Yeah.
Where we've not created a sniff. And that's why I think that's our worst performance.
Yeah.
Because usually we're in around the box shooting, trying. Yeah, what is that one?
We
never
fucking try. I think it's gonna click. Like, I'm a positive person. I'm an optimistic person, but also I think it's just obvious. Like, it's not in our game plan to not really be creating things going forward. Like, that'd just be stupid. We've got a world-class manager. We've got one of the best managers in the world, and I wouldn't swap him for anyone. We've got so many players. I wouldn't swap Mo Salah for any forward in world football. Roberto Firmino, Virgil van Dijk at the back.
There's players you'd want as well as.
Yeah. But I wouldn't get rid of any of our front three for anyone.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're not clicking, but Look at the stuff they did last season.
Yeah.
When they're on the break, we used to say they were the fucking red arrows.
Yeah.
Because you knew that when they were breaking, defensives were scared. Yeah. That West Ham game where we just tore them apart. The Arsenal breakaway where we just slotted it. You're looking
teams have bad runs of form, but it doesn't mean that all the players don't know what they're doing anymore.
Yeah.
It just means they're in a bad run of form and they haven't got a bit of confidence. And the only way to get out of that is by starting to win football matches, start scoring goals. And it'll come.
I agree with that, definitely. Jack Battistoni says, if you had to choose one current LFC player who would be likely to make a move to the Chinese Super League in the future, who would it be?
Well, originally I was like, so it's someone who's got like a bit of a name, but someone who isn't really that good. And I thought, even though he's on loan, I thought maybe Karius.
I actually thought about Karius, yeah.
Because it's for people whose careers are over, isn't it?
And
so if the next year or two doesn't quite go right for Karius, then maybe it is. It's someone who's got a name, who's going to attract fans, people who they've heard of.
Mm.
So maybe it is. But then I remembered Daniel Sturridge.
It's
Daniel Sturridge, isn't it?
It is Daniel Sturridge. I've put Klein. Yeah, I feel like
same sort of
like one of them. Where look, he's still good enough he'll tear that league apart. I mean, maybe he'll become a right winger, Klein. You never know. And the other one, I'll put Mane, and I'm talking in the future. Yeah. So I'm talking like, what, 5-6 years down the line, when he's won everything he needs to win at Liverpool, Champions Leagues, Premier Leagues, all the Cups, you know what I mean? He's won everything. He's just like, you know what? I don't fancy going to Real Madrid or Barca to see me days out. I want to get loads of money sorted, you know what I mean? And I could see it being an attacking player.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Sturridge do it. I think he might have even been linked over the last couple of years with that sort of move.
It's usually Besiktas Sturridge, isn't it? But it could be. Surprised.
And it'd make sense for him too, as well. To be honest, I think he's got a lot more to offer this season. I think even though he's had a few bad games, I think he has got a change in his mentality this season to what he has in the last few years. I think he knows his place now. And he knows where he's going. Hopefully, he kicks on with that with this season. And he plays the part that he has played a few times. He leads the line brilliantly against PSG. He comes on against Chelsea and scores a worldie to get us a point. He scored a couple of other goals. I know he scored in the first game. It was like the fourth goal or whatever. But he's got a big part to play.
Yeah,
he can do that this season and then take it from there.
Yeah, I
think this is his last year of his contract.
I'm honestly unsure.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think. But if he plays that role, maybe he gets another year, and then maybe he thinks, well, I'm not going to be playing in the Premier League anymore, and these are offering me a ridiculous amount of money. It would make sense for him to go.
It would do. I mean, yeah. No, I agree. I'm gonna kind of throw it off here. Sorry, we're not gonna go with that question. We're gonna go with George Furlong, 17, and he says, why doesn't football take a page out of rugby's book and just pause the timer when a stoppage happens? It would get rid of time wasting and diving when not injured to kill time, and also the issue about the time being incorrect, maybe too much or not enough added. There is no con. Yes, I'd be sort of in favour of this. I think
they'd have to change the time of the game. It couldn't be 90 minutes.
You don't think so?
No. Like, the ball's in play for about 60 minutes of a game.
Yeah, yeah.
So even though you're only getting 4 or 5 minutes at a time, the ball's only in play for
two. Why would they have to change it, though?
Because it's not doubling, it's adding an extra...
A third.
Yeah, it's adding an extra third of the... Footballers already play too much time. So it's adding an extra third every week to the amount of games.
So you bring it down to 70 minutes?
60 or 70 minutes.
Yeah.
It'd have to be.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, there was a game that was played the other day in the Premier League, top flight football, and I think the ball was in play for like 35 minutes
yeah.
or something stupid. Mm. And you said, that's stupid. 35 minutes of balls in play. I think it was a team that plays, it might be in Huddersfield, where they take like, I think they took 8 minutes for long throw-ins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's ridiculous if you think a minute for each corner maybe. When you really want a time waste and you put your right winger over to the left-hand side to get him subbed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And I must admit, I kind of like that gamesmanship. But when the time's not getting added on correctly, then it's a joke. I remember when we were playing against West Brom. Again, we deserved to lose, but we had the VAR stuff. And
that was ridiculous.
There was 20 minutes gone at that game.
Yeah.
And we got 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I mean, I don't think we would have done anything, but we could have done something with that extra time. I think I'd be in favour of that. I really would be in favour of it would change the game.
My first instinct was no, but that, I think that's just the part of me like, just don't mess with it. That's how it's always been, so don't mess with it. But actually thinking about it, It'd make the game faster.
Yeah.
It'd stop those tactics. It'd make it harder for the teams who do just want to waste time.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll ever happen.
Oh no, I don't think it'll happen. The one thing I do want to take out of rugby's book, Bailey kind of touched on it in the office before, is the respect to the referees. I don't know if you've watched much rugby. Basically, the referee's word is final. You talk back to him, he just comes over to you and goes, say it again, you're getting sent off. Mm. And I think...
You've got the sin bin in rugby, haven't
you? I think, yeah.
So you get sent off for 5 minutes? Ten minutes.
I mean, that could work. I think it's one of them where the amount of talk back to referees, and I do it. I do it when I play footy, and I don't play it at any level. But if there's a referee on the pitch, I'd be like, come on, ref. That's a bollocks decision, you know what I mean? That's fucking stupid, blah, blah, blah. The amount of stick they must get. And it's all the lower level. It's the kids coming up through.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying think of the kids, all that shite. But sort of think of the kids. Mm. They're coming up and they're seeing Neymar, talking back, Suarez talking back. Even these, like, most Liverpool players, you see... Lallana
Liverpool
don't do it enough. We don't do it enough,
but... No, but, like, Real Madrid are the masters at it.
Crowd and the referee.
I remember we were playing Roma in the second leg, and I was in Rome watching, the day before the game, watching Bayern Munich against Real Madrid, and Real Madrid were just winding the clock down against Bayern. And Bayern created quite a few chances in that game. They were the better team. But Real Madrid were just winding, and I was saying, if we do manage to beat Roma tomorrow, these are going to be so hard to play against in the final, because they're just the absolute masters of it.
Yeah.
And it's a part of the game. The top teams command the respect, so the players are allowed to do it a lot more than lower league teams are.
Yeah, exactly. I just think it'll be amazing. Obviously, you'd need to have referees who wield that respect properly.
Yeah.
Like Kalina, isn't it?
Yeah.
He was the referee for me because he commanded respect. He would imagine if he was a ref now, I think it'd be unbelievable. He'd just go, you. Yeah. I'm not taking any shit from you. And I feel like it'd make it a lot more respectful. Maybe it'd make decision making better, you know what I mean? And it's hard because I feel like there's a lot more money in football than rugby. I feel like it's a bigger fan base and there's a lot more scrutiny placed on it, maybe. But I think there needs to be a change with that
players have got to stick up their ass a lot more in football than they have in rugby.
Yeah. I just feel like that whole respect part's gone, and I can't talk. Like I say, I'm a bastard on a footy pitch to my own teammates, to the opposition teammates, to the ref, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, that's just the way I play football. And maybe, again, you're changing it too much, but I don't know. I feel like it'd just be a nicer place if the ref just went, I'm bringing you and your captain over. If anyone talks to me bad, you're going. And
it seems to be getting worse and worse all the time doesn't it? It does. If you swore to the ref, about 15 years ago, if you swore to the ref, then it was just an instant booking. That was it. But now you'll see people getting in referees' faces and shouting, you fucking bastard, and stuff like that.
But, I mean, I don't think that's going to change either. I don't think it can change. I don't know how you change that. But anyway, that is the end of the podcast. We've obviously got so many more questions, and that's going to be answered on the subscriber Q&A. Basically, we've got loads more questions in terms of what's the best thing about having the office to yourselves while Paul and Chris are out. That should be interesting. In the distant future, who do you hope Klopp will manage next? If you could know the truth to any mystery or unknown answer, what would it be? Stuff on who would you rather, which Sacha Baron Cohen character would you like to be? If you could have two goalkeepers per team and have a bigger goal, who would you pick? There's loads of questions. Not all as silly as that, some proper discussions as well. But yeah, come over and see all that. Like I say, it's just £5 a month on the Redmond TV, free for the first month. But look, thank you, Si. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you, Bailey, behind the camera, mixing this. Yeah, it should be Paul and Chris back next week. So yeah, you get the regulars back. But yeah, nice one for listening. See you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.